Shabam Pavitram Iha Vidyate Tat Svayam Yoga Samsitha Kalinatmani Vindati. Please repeat. Na.
Na.
Nothing.
Nothing.
He.
He.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Jnanena.
Jnanena.
With knowledge.
With knowledge.
Sadrisham.
Sadrisham.
In comparison.
In comparison.
Pavitram.
Pavitram.
Sanctified.
Sanctified.
Iha.
Iha.
In this world.
In this world.
Vidyate.
Vidyate.
Exists.
Exists.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Svayam.
Svayam.
Himself.
Himself.
Yoga.
Yoga.
In devotion.
In devotion.
Samsiddha.
Samsiddha.
He who is mature.
He who is mature.
Kalena.
Kalena.
In course of time.
In course of time.
Atmani.
Atmani.
In himself.
In himself.
Vindati.
Vindati.
Enjoys.
Enjoys.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivinoda Shanti Prabhupada.
Jai.
In this world there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Report. When we speak of transcendental knowledge, we do so in terms of spiritual understanding. As such, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our bondage, and knowledge is the cause of our liberation. This knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service. And when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, or he enjoys peace within himself. In other words, this knowledge and peace culminate in Krishna consciousness. That is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat svayam yoga samsiddha kalinatmani vindati. Ukam karoti vachalam pangam nayate girim kripataraham vande shri vindina tadanam. So, Lord Krishna says, first of all, in this world, iha, iha vidyate, in this world there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. So we should understand from this statement that transcendental knowledge, while it does surpass this world, at the same time it does not negate or ignore this world. Rather, it includes this world. And that is confirmed later, the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, most confidential knowledge. Lord Krishna begins by saying in this chapter that jnanam vijnana sahitam yajgyatva mukhyushe shubha. Now I shall speak to you. Here the term guhyatama, the most confidential of all knowledge. And what is that? Jnana and vijnana sahitam. So jnana and vijnana, these words are explained in different ways according to the circumstances, but it may be taken, jnana, as knowledge of the material world. And vijnana is knowledge beyond this world, knowledge that surpasses this world, knowledge of our original constitutional position in relationship with Krishna. But now we are not in that original constitutional position. We are not conscious of that. We are conscious of the here and now, this place, this world of birth, death, disease, old age. So it is abstract and theoretical to hear only about the world beyond, but not have any information how we can raise ourselves to that world beyond. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita is most practical. Yes, the world beyond is revealed, most certainly. Not in some vague way, not in some, mystical way. Prabhupada once said, mystical means misty. You know, when things are not clear, foggy, that's mysticism. Even one great Christian mystic, St. John of the Cross, famous Spanish mystic, he's written a poem in which he describes his method of mysticism as the way which is not known, which aims at the goal that is not known. So So, of course, many people, they're fascinated with such kind of word jugglery. But if we are stuck in this world of birth and death, this is very practical. We're stuck in a body right now that is deteriorating at every moment. Seconds are ticking by and this body is getting older. We are coming closer and closer to death. We do not know when we will have to face death. It can be at any moment. 1 second, 10 seconds, 1 year, 10 years, who knows? But death is coming to us all. So this is a very practical situation. We're in this body. Our consciousness is restricted by the senses and by the mind. We find now when we hear things, often when we come to classes, Krishna consciousness, philosophy, or when we read Srila Prabhupada's books, as Prabhupada himself said when he began to hear from his own Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and my Guru Maharaj spoke many things that puzzled my brain. We find this philosophy sometimes puzzling. Why? Because it is a chintya. Chintya means inconceivable. It is beyond the chintya, manaso gochara. It is beyond the reach of the mind and senses. And that is where our goal is. So if someone says, let us take the path that we do not know, and let us reach for the goal that we do not know, this is not very helpful. Not very helpful. It's like if you have to cross this is a busy street. You go down the street and then there's a busy way. Many, many cars. But if we blindfold you, put a hood over your head, and spin you around and round and round, and say, now go on the path you do not know, to the goal you do not know, out into the traffic. Is this very helpful? No. But that does not mean we should become morose, and we should become hopeless, and think it is impossible. No, but we have to start step by step. That is in the sixth chapter also. Shanai, shanai, Lord Krishna says, step by step. And so here he's talking about this step by step. Jnanam vijnana sahitam. We must understand our position here and now in this material world. Now what it means to be spirit soul encased in a body that is subject to birth, death, disease, and old age. And what we can do as spirit soul to elevate our consciousness out of this present limited condition, time-bound condition. So, in this verse we read tonight, Lord Krishna says, in this world there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. So this is the next very important point. Because this knowledge is not, as I mentioned, word jugglery. It is not complicated puzzles. In newspapers, certain magazines in the back, there are these crossword puzzles. There are other kinds of puzzles. And people, you see, spend so much time breaking their heads over these things. Or people, there are puzzles in life also. Just like, no, recently I happened, but I'm thinking of this because recently I happened to see one book, latest book of theories on who killed President Kennedy. It was published in 1997. President Kennedy was killed in 1963. So this means now, you see, more than 30 years later, they're still breaking their brains over this problem. And it will go on and on and on and on. And there are so many things like that in this world. So people puzzle, research, speculate, investigate, and put forward a theory, and then that theory is countered by other theories. And it goes on without end. So this is mental speculation. No, so that is not transcendental knowledge. It is not mental speculation. But as Lord Krishna says in the ninth chapter, again, text 2, the next verse, Pavitram idam uttamam. It is the most pure understanding of life. So it is the purity that makes it transcendental. See, when we use this word transcendental, it means that which is above. or that which is beyond, that which surpasses our ordinary consciousness. So all of, you know, all of our science and all of our philosophy and all of our speculation is within the circumference of this material world. But transcendental knowledge is beyond that. And what is the distinct feature of that knowledge which carries us beyond this world? And that is its purity. Its purity. So by this purity, pratyashavagamam dharmyam, then one can see Om Agyanati Mirandisya Pyananin Ganashalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. He who is pure, the Guru, spiritual master, he Chakshur Unmilitam, he removes from the eyes the darkness. And how does he do that? It's by the touch, by his pure touch. And how does the Guru touch us? By reaching out, electric shock? No. Touches by his words. This is how purity, pavitram, I want to say pavitra vani, pavitra vani, vani means the message that is pure. So this message, it enters our consciousness through the ears, and the waves of this pure sound vibration washes clean all the dirt that is caked up in our minds and hearts. That is all. That is the process. Said Krishna nami charitadhiya sitaktiya vidya. Problem is, we don't have taste for it. We don't have taste for it. But the spiritual master, this is why spiritual master is so important. He knows the art of making this interesting. He knows the art of attracting our attention to it. Even though our mind tends to wander. But by his personality, by his way of making this knowledge relevant, just like Shukadeva Goswami, Shukka, he's the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Shukka means parrot. So in India they believe that when a mango in the tree is touched, is pecked by the beak of a parrot, it becomes even more sweet. Mango is the sweetest of fruits. Highly recommend everyone should try mango if you have it. But it's the most sweet of fruits. But a mango can become sweeter if it is touched by the bill of a parrot. So this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Pavitrani Dhamuttamam, it is the most pure and therefore the most sweetest thing. But we are so impure, that is our problem. So we are even compared to diseased persons, jaundiced persons. When you have jaundice, then anything sweet tastes sour. But the spiritual master knows the secret of raising our consciousness up so that we can taste the sweetness. And so we must serve our spiritual master, hear from him, and serve him. So then, what is the result of that? Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. Tatsvayam yoga samsiddha. Yes, mature fruit. Again, like mango. When mango is mature, then it is most sweet. So that means that there is a process of maturation, a process of growth in spiritual life. We have to be patient, we have to be humble. It's not that we can expect to come in here and attend 2-3 classes and then walk out with big eyes, and now I know everything, and I'm a pure devotee, and whatever I do is transcendental, and in this way follow our own speculations all over again, thinking, and now everything's okay. I've understood. No. Actually, Krishna consciousness, you see, it goes to the very root in the heart. The root in the heart is the soul. That is the real self. That is us. But we are in a dormant state. We don't even know who we are. You see, we don't even know who we are. We think we're the body, we think we're the mind, and this is avidya, this is ignorance. So this process of coming to the mature stage It requires great dedication. It requires utsaha, enthusiasm. Sri Rupa Goswami has described utsaha, then, what is that? Is the next? Utsaha, istiyat, dharyat, tat tat karma pravartana. So these are six methods in which we can become mature. So utsaha, enthusiasm, nischaya means to be steadfast, dharyat means to be determined, confident of the goal, tattak karma pravartana, and that means we must perform the prescribed activities. There is a way of life, a way of discipline, that is yoga. Here says yoga samsiddha, the perfection of yoga. But there is a path of yoga that must be followed to reach the perfection. And that entails regulative principles, tattak karma pravartana. And then sangatyaga, you must give up impure association. Anyone here can become pure, but if we remain in contact with the impure, then how is it possible? You see? Sangata tyaga sato vritte. And we must associate with the saintly persons, associate with the devotees of the Lord. So this will make our path of maturation very, very easy, very, very simple, and then we can proceed swiftly. And one who has become accomplished in this practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Yes, so that is at the end. The mature stage. What is that mature stage? What is that liberation in Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said, it does not mean four heads and ten arms. It does not mean some extraordinary, you see, halo effect. It does not mean you can read other people's minds. It does not mean that you float off the asana across the room. Some people look for these kind of effects as being evidence of maturation in spiritual life. But here, Lord Krishna says, vindati, atmani vindati, that one enjoys the pure self. When speaking of pure knowledge brings one to the pure self, the actual person, the original person in the heart, atma and paramatma, soul and super soul, Krishna and Krishna's devotee, and they have an eternal tie, sanitya nitya sambandha. They're actually never separated, but we have forgotten all that. So when that consciousness of ourself and Krishna and the tie between us, the sambandha. You have that word also, don't you, in Swedish? It's a Sanskrit word too, sambandha. Connection. So the sambandha, when that is understood by pure vision, pure understanding, pure knowledge, then atmani vindati, then one is actually in the position, eternal position, of transcendental happiness. And then the senses and mind become pacified. The senses and mind, they are great obstacles on the path of spiritual life because they're always wandering. They're always attracted by illusory sense objects or mind objects. The senses become attracted by beautiful forms and tastes and smells and touches and so on, sensations. And the mind becomes attracted by beautiful but material thoughts, concepts. So even after we've taken to this, because our mind and senses may not be pacified, when we find ourselves drifting off, drifting off the path, that very often happens. Drifting off the path, even before you know it, suddenly, face to face with Maya. What? How did I get here? Krishna, save me. Back on the path. So, but at the mature stage, atmani vindati, one is satisfied in one's own self, one's realization of his own pure original self as devotee of Krishna. And thus the senses and mind are completely pacified. And a clear proof of this, these are dealings with others. This is actually the real test. The real test in spiritual, because this philosophy is personal. So it is in our personal relationships that it can be seen who is advanced and who is not. This is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has declared the impersonalists to be pala, what is it? Palatyagi. They're actually not very advanced at all in renunciation or in knowledge. They're impersonalists, means they try to withdraw from personal relationship with others, go to some cave, go to some deep forest, get away from other people. Why? Because other people disturb their minds. Everybody knows that. It's always going on between people. Someone is speaking some foolishness and it irritates you. Why are they talking like that? Such stupid things. Or someone is insulting you. Or on the other side, someone is flattering you. And you're trying to remain firm and someone is saying, oh, you're so... Why don't you come and sit next to me? So in this way, due to these personal interactions, we come under great stress. Great stress. And so the impersonalist, who is actually a neophyte, only a beginner in spiritual life, tries to retreat from all that. He thinks, I'll become strong by retreating and practicing on my own disciplines, meditation, and then this won't bother me. But as soon as he comes back into the world of person, he'll be overwhelmed because he hasn't practiced for that. He's practiced for pressing his nose or his navel or looking into some light or whatever, staring at the tip of his nose. But he hasn't practiced for interacting with people in a transcendental way. And so as soon as he comes back to the world of human beings, the world of personality again, he's so disturbed, so placed under stress. So this is actually the real test. And you see, this is a personal universe. It's not just a matter of trying to cut yourself off from, you know, some human beings. But this whole universe is personal. Everything is actually personal. Because everything is controlled by devatas, by demigods. Our very sensual functions, our mental functions, everything we're perceiving is made possible by persons who all exist on a higher plane. And what we are doing by spiritual life is advancing our consciousness. And as our consciousness advances, we will actually come into direct contact with these higher beings. And you can fool people here. You can fool human beings. You can trick them. You know, you can act very suave and debonair and all of that. You can fool people. But you can't fool these demigods. They see right through you. So any sham, any spiritual sham, they will immediately cut down. They'll immediately, that's why the demigods are there. There are many, many gateways between here and the spiritual world and higher cosmic dimensions. And each gateway is guarded by a particular demigod. And there is one process called the Devayana Pantha, the path to the devas. This is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 7th Canto, explained by Narada Muni. And also explained in more detail by Baladevi Dibhushan in his Govinda Vasya Commentary of the Danta Sutra. So the demigods are examining those souls who try to go upward at every stage. And so anyone who has any kind of attachment, any kind of flaw, they will fail at some stage. Demigods will say, that's far enough for you. Stay here. In this way we remain in the material world. So one has to become a perfect person. What does that mean? I have to go to charm school? I have to take lessons? Elocution, you know, speaking very nicely, walk with a book on top of my head? No, this is not becoming a perfect person. Becoming a perfect person actually means, again, the same point. Pavitram idhuttama pratyashavagamam dharmam shushukam kartamavyam. Seeing directly with the eyes of transcendental knowledge who I really am, I am spirit soul. And shushukam kartamavyam, and in this way tasting the nectar, tasting the transcendental bliss of my true identity in Krishna consciousness. That is perfection. One on this stage, he's respected by the demigods. This is the point. One who is on this stage, the demigods immediately recognize him. They fold their hands and they bow their heads and they even invite you to step on their heads out of this universe. Because they feel that such a person, this is the Vaishnava culture, you see. They are Vaishnavas, they are devotees of Vishnu. This is the Vaishnava culture. A Vaishnava does not think himself to be a Vaishnava, but he thinks other Vaishnavas, they are the pure devotees, and I should be their servant, so let them step on my head so that I may make some progress. Even the great demigods who are our controllers, they feel that way. So a pure devotee, they're hoping he will step on their head so that they may make an advancement. This is humility. And humility is actually key to everything. Srila Prabhupada says in so many places that spiritual life begins with humility. So we are humble servant in our constitutional position. We have no reason. There is no logical, rational reason at all to be proud, to be arrogant, to think oneself important, to put others down, to speak cutting words, to criticize others. There is absolutely no reason for this. Because we are simply servants. Servants of everyone. If you're a servant of Krishna, you are the servant of everyone. Prabhupada said, even an ant. An ant is the most humble creature crawling in the dust. But a Vaishnava will offer his respects even to an ant. Because you see, within that ant there is Atma and Paramatma. This is what it means to be a perfect person. This is what it means to go back home, back to Godhead. So that's the real test. And therefore, our testing ground in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is in association with other persons. So Sangha Tyaga, we give up the wrong kind of association with other persons. But Sato Vritte still, we associate in the right way. There's a wrong way to associate and there's a right way. The wrong way is very simple. To associate on the basis of body and mind. Not to become, you know, try to develop relationship on the basis of body, mind, even material intellect. This is the wrong way. And this way we become entangled. And naturally, because these are just material comings. And the right way is to associate on the platform of spirit soul. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma. On that platform, there is only satisfaction. Prasanatma, there is only bliss. There is only happiness. Nasochiti. No material thing is desired. Nakamshiti. There is no cause for lamentation. No one can disturb you if you're actually on that platform. What can they do to disturb you? Hit you on the head. That's just the body. Call your name, it's just a material sound referring either to the body or mind. It's not you. When we were little children, we used to sing this song to each other. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. So, but also sticks and stones, yeah, they only break bones, but I am not bones. And words also won't hurt me, because I am soul. I am spirit soul. The whole second chapter of Bhagavad Gita is full of Lord Krishna's explanation how nothing can harm the spirit soul, nothing material can touch the spirit soul. So in that society, one doesn't want anything from this material world, from other people, nor nakanchiti, nor is there any cause to lament. Samak sadeshu bhuteshu, one is equal to all. One sees every living creature, high or low, intelligent or unintelligent, male or female, or old or young, human, beast, fish, microbe, whatever it may be, he sees every living being as spirit soul. So, in this state of pure Krishna consciousness, again, Atmani Vindati, there is only enjoyment. There is no cause for lamentation anyway, because there is no contact with the natural. So, this is the testing ground in association with devotees in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That is why Srila Prabhupada and his followers have established these many centers. Like you have this one here, Stockholm, many other cities of the world, there are centers for Krishna consciousness. Offering what? Offering sarasanga, offering association with devotees. So, let us work together in the proper way to make this association sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and more fulfilling. If there is any problem, that is where the problem is always found, in the association. But Srila Prabhupada in his books has given us a very clear direction. There is no mystery. If we simply follow this process, then we can actually come to that stage, Ramabhuta Prasanatma, all together. And having achieved that stage, that community of persons who has actually achieved that stage automatically does good for the whole world. Automatically, everyone is interested in what they have to say, those who are on that stage, because that is what everyone is looking for. Everyone is looking for a community of persons who are effulgent, who are happy, satisfied, deal with one another in a very sweet and encouraging way, who try to help one another, not hinder one another, advance, who are not envious. That Anasuya, such a quality mentioned again and again by Lord Krishna. And because you are not envious, that's what he says in the, again, in the 9th chapter, verse 1. Pratyashavagamha Prabhakshami Anasuyave. Because you are not envious, therefore, I'm speaking to you this knowledge. That's the qualification. Because you're not envious, therefore, I want you to hear this. And in the end, 18th chapter, Lord Krishna says, those who are envious, they should not hear this, because they will never understand it properly. So this is the great challenge facing us all. We should take it, because there is no other way, simply for that reason. What other alternative is there? There's either personalism or impersonalism. And impersonalism is useless. Impersonalism will not help us understand what is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. Are there any questions? No. His question is that someone who is completely tolerant, who never reacts in an aggressive or offensive way to criticism, who never takes any offense, he may be considered to be a fool by others. So then he concluded his question by asking, so do all devotees act in that way? The answer is no. No, all devotees do not act in that way, only the advanced. You see, Jadbharat, he was like that. He's very advanced. The neophyte devotees, because they are not well established in knowledge, therefore they're still thinking, I am the body, I am the mind. And therefore they become affected by the friction between personal feelings. So anyway, but even then, that agitation that should be channeled. The agitation is there for neophytes, but it should be properly channeled. So we have to still be humble, we have to always be humble, but at the same time, we have to try to come to the stage of transcendental knowledge and help others come to the stage of transcendental knowledge. And so we must preach. And when one preaches, our mission is a preaching mission, then one has to take a stand. One has to say, this is right and this is wrong, according to the Shastra. Not for one's own self, but for the sake of helping people. As we said, they have to associate in the right way. So help people give up the wrong way of association. So this preaching then, it channels that energy of the neophyte who's certainly going to be out come agitated in interpersonal dealings. Can't help it. Alright, so then channel that agitation in the right way by preaching. In other words, don't take offenses upon yourself. But if someone is making offense against Guru, Shastra, Sadhu, if someone is offending the path of Krishna consciousness by their behavior, by their words, then you can speak strongly to them. Again, not taking it in a personal way that you have offended me. This is what we must avoid at all costs. But still you can express your displeasure, because they're offending Shastra. They should not offend you. That's the point. They should not offend you if you're a devotee. But don't take it personally. No. Look at the principle. This is Vaishnava Parada. Please don't commit Vaishnava Parada. So, this is the avenue, this is the opening by which we can engage our feelings of irritation. At the same time, you have to be very cautious, even with that. As one becomes mature, then one becomes more expert in doing this. See? One should try to avoid to be abrasive in one's preaching. Defensive. This is not very attractive. Our purpose in preaching is to attract people. So one is very abrasive, aggressive, and defensive in his preaching. It simply sounds like, you know, sectarianism. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes that. Even though what the devotee is saying is right, you can't find fault with the words, but the attitude, because actually he is taking everything personal. See, he's trying to defend himself. And that's immediately seen by everyone. If one is truly defending the Bhagavad Gita, or defending Srila Prabhupada, or defending Sri Sri Gaudiya, only a demon takes offense at that. But ordinary, you know, normal person can see, oh, this person has a very nice mission, and he's speaking to defend that higher mission. So, this is the thing, if we are always thinking of that mission, that mission is to attract people to Krishna consciousness, then that will help us overcome this tendency to take things in a personal way, defend ourselves, protect ourselves by speaking aggressively, trying to show ourselves as being more knowledgeable than others, put others down, you know, try to make ourselves look advanced simply by putting others down. This is the technique. I'm not advanced. I'm not any higher than anyone else. But if I can somehow push others down, then I'm higher. But this is not preaching. To push others down in the mud, push their heads in the mud. You demon, you rascal. You sense nonsense. And then one feels very good about himself. I'm not like all these fools. But you are like all these fools. That is what they do in the material world. They just put one another down. The principle of the material world is envious. This is the difference between spiritual life and material life. In material life, nobody really knows how to, you know, to elevate everyone together, to encourage everyone to go up. It's not like that. In the material, you know, like there's that famous park in Oslo, you know, there's that pillar of people, you know, climbing, that's the material one. They climb on each other and one is trying to reach the top. And if he reaches the top, then someone at the bottom gives a kick to the whole thing. Because nobody likes to see someone reach the top. So it's like that. There's one joke from, you hear it in many Eastern European countries. These countries became communist for a reason, because there's a certain mentality, very envious. And that's why they became communist. So there's a, but this is an old joke, even from before communist time. There was a man, two farmers, they were poor, but somehow one of the two farmers who were neighbors managed to get a cow. The other one didn't have a cow. So this one immediately, he's more opulent. He has a cow, he can milk the cow, he has milk. So that one got the cow. Why? Because he did a special, in the Orthodox Church, there were so many rituals, so he did a whole ritual and a fast and many prayers. And so God sent him a cow. That's how it was understood. So then the neighbor, seeing that next door this man has a cow, this other farmer, he started to go to the church. Every day, praying, lighting candles, bowing down. And then after many, many days, after a whole month of fasting and praying, going to the church every day, getting kissing the icons, getting blessing, then Jesus appeared to him. And Jesus smiled very beatifically and said, I think I know why you have called me. Because your neighbor has got a cow. And he did all these sacrifices and to get that cow. And so I suppose you also want a cow. And the farmer said, no, just make his cow die. So this is a joke from those countries. And this is pretty much sums up material mentality. But real spiritual life is men. Let everyone have a cow. Let everyone become advanced materially, but most importantly, spiritually. And go back home, back to God. That is the vision of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he's called Patita Pavana, the savior of the fallen. There's so many names like this for Krishna. Dina Dayal, he who is merciful to the Dina, the fallen, the miserable. You see, he who becomes the, he has one nice name given in Srimad Bhagavatam, but he becomes the only property of the distressed. Those who are distressed, who have nothing but pray to him, then he becomes their property. So this is how kind Krishna is. This is Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is their outlook. Let everyone become elevated to the transcendental platform. So devotees, we devotees are representing that mission. And it is for this purpose that we are preaching. And we should never forget that. If we always remember that, then our preaching will automatically be very nice and palatable and sweet and attractive to others. And our association will also be free of the difficulties that disturb the materially attached. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Sutta Maharaj ki jai.